Are dating apps stressing you out if you're looking for a relationship? Today, we're going to talk about dating apps, how attitudes have changed towards them, and why sometimes they can be so stressful, and some of the other ways that you can find or look for a relationship that could be really fulfilling. If you'd like to find out more about how to improve your relationship, head over to therelationshipmaze.com, where we have lots of free resources, and our online course, The Relationship Maze. And press subscribe right now. So welcome to today's episode of The Relationship Maze. And today we're going to be talking about the world of dating apps and how kind of attitudes have changed about them over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I was reading an article in The Guardian, I think it was last week or the week before, where they were talking about the change in attitudes towards dating apps, because they've really taken over, haven't they, in terms of the dating market now. So I would say probably the majority of people, but maybe not, I'm guessing here, but the majority of people who are looking for a partner would at some point in their lives would have considered to use one of these apps. They're hugely popular, but they're also hugely challenging and extremely exhausting for lots of people, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, dating apps seem to make things easy on the surface. Because mm-hmm. you think, well, you know, in the past, before we were dating apps, I think for a lot of people, it's quite challenging meeting people anyway. I mean, it's like, how might you meet people? Well, you know, at work, you might meet people through friends, maybe down the pub or wherever it happened to be. But it's, you know, suddenly dating apps give this possibility that actually, you know, even if it was difficult before, there's a chance that you can maybe meet people more easily. Mm. So on the surface, it seems like a great thing. Mm. But like I said, in that article, I think this is what I've experienced with people I've worked with as well, is a lot of people are really frustrated with dating apps because, well, you can spend so much time on them. So, I mean, I've worked with clients who, they said, like, every hour they're trying to reply to messages or they're sending hundreds of messages and never getting a response. Mm. And then, you know, then you seem to be getting into a bit of a relationship with somebody online before you've even met them, and then they disappear.
Yeah.
Or you even meet them a couple of times and then they disappear. So, you know, ghosting. And so it's brought in this sort of difficult dynamic, which I think can be really stressful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of sitting on the fence a little bit when it comes to dating apps, because I can see the potential. I can see the potential in terms of, as you say, first of all, you know, what are the situations where you can meet someone that might take quite a long time if you haven't got a colleague who you are attracted to, or you're not being introduced to other people through your friends, or you're not going to parties anymore, or you're not chatting up people at the bar somewhere in a, you know, in a restaurant, for example. So what are the options here? We'll come to that in a minute. But so for most people, it's the obvious step. And also, of course, it broadens, you know, this huge horizon here. There's all this. It's like going to a sweetie shop and you've got all these offers. There's the potential, at least, to meet people who you would normally never meet because they come from different walks in life. They work in very different contexts. So there's something potentially great about that, isn't it? About meeting people who you would otherwise never have had an opportunity to meet.
Well, there is. But I think also that's their potential problem. Is
sure.
that in the past, you know, if you met people maybe through friends or at a work event or at some sort of activity you're doing, you have that immediate shared connection. So that brings, and essentially how we often form that initial relationship with people, how we kind of know we like somebody, is by having some sort of something shared or something we know is in common. Or engaging in some group activity also brings that dynamic of a sense that, you know, this person maybe has some sort of similarity to us. But because you're meeting people who really you have known nothing about, maybe completely different, sometimes actually finding that commonality can be quite challenging. Now, maybe there, but if you happen to be thrown into a work event, immediately there's a sense that, oh, we're both kind of involved in things. So it can be, you know, more chance for kind of picking up those conversations initially. And I think actually, you know, the challenges of meeting somebody you know really nothing about, which is often nerve-wracking for a lot of people, is there's a lot of potential relationships that could be good, but aren't given a chance because we don't know how to make that connection. A connection initially can be quite challenging. And there's a lot of people that we're going to spend a lot of time sifting through people that we really would have nothing in common as well.
Mm.
So it can be, I think, a lot of legwork, a lot of time can be spent. And certainly in people I've worked with or with people I've worked with, they can spend a huge amount of time meeting people that really, you know, on the surface, on a profile, seem to be, you know, maybe great or maybe kind of having something in common. But when you meet them, it's completely different.
Mm. Yeah, okay, I hear what you're saying, but let me be the advocate a little bit longer for dating apps, because I think there are some possibilities here as well. It offers initially, I think, a sense of taking charge of that whole idea of going out and seeking a partner rather than sitting passively at home and waiting for someone to knock at your door. It's not going to happen, is it? I mean, you know, you can always meet somebody. You can meet somebody at the bus stop who you start chatting to, in the supermarket, whatever. These are all possibilities, but you can wait a long time. So at least with the dating apps, you are proactive. You're out there. You're doing something. You are trying to work at it. And it is work, absolutely. It can be a full-time job, right? Filtering through all of these responses. But you have the opportunity here to meet someone. And then, yes, I mean, you would have to explore all the things that you just mentioned. You'd have to explore what's our common ground. What are we both interested in? Is there something here that, you know, some connection points that we can find that we would then want to explore further down the line? So at least the opportunity is there. And I'll come to the pitfalls in a minute. I'm well aware that there are lots of pitfalls, but there are also opportunities. And I think I have seen a statistic somewhere recently, I can't remember what it was. It was a very high percentage of the population these days met their partners online. Yeah, I think 20%, 30%, something like that. It's relatively high. So this seems to be the way that people meet.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's higher than that.
Maybe it's even
higher,
in
my experience, most people seem to use dating apps now.
Yeah,
of course, they can be, you know, great potential. I think also for people that are more anxious, people who wouldn't go up to somebody, you know, in a bar, for example, and just randomly speak to people, well, you know, this gives a chance to some people that are slightly more anxious to meet people and have a relationship which they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I think they can be great.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is that, like you said, it becomes like a sweetie shop, and where I think sometimes, maybe in the past, there was more sense of, you know, looking for somebody, meeting somebody, giving it a chance.
Mm.
But now there's so much variety. I mean, there are so many apps. And I think, you know, some of the, you know, swipe right, swipe left type thing as well just makes it so quick and easy that you don't even really even look in depth at actually what might be the qualities about this person.
Mm.
So we may miss opportunities because there's so many options.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's the photo, isn't it? I imagine it's always down to whether the photo is appealing or not. For most people, I doubt that the majority of people on dating apps really are greatly interested in the description. But maybe they are. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think the photo is hugely important. And as we all know, photos can be very, very misleading. And then there's always this bad surprise when you meet the person and they look completely different than you imagined.
Yeah, we talked about this in an earlier podcast episode as well, of people having funny strategies for their photos. Like there was one where, I can't remember the term for it, where you have a dog in your photo. So, and then people
dog
end up
fishing.
Dating you, dog fishing. So people end up dating you because actually they like the dog.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, just sort of having laid down the sort of the advantages here of dating, that it opens up possibilities. I mean, that's what I see as an advantage, you know, opportunities, possibilities.
Yeah, and dealing with anxieties.
Like, you're being able to, yes.
Yeah, and I think when they're also, that some of them are more kind of niche, which also can be useful in some ways. I mean, there are downsides too, but if you're, you know, if you have certain interests or other things, like, I mean, I saw there's a dating app for farmers, sort of, you know, it might be that you're looking for certain types of people. I mean, you know, these potentially, I don't know how successful they are, but potentially, you know, that could also be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, there are some pluses here, but of course, as we've said, there are quite a lot of pitfalls. We did an interview a while back with a sociologist in one of our podcasts who was who was actually researching the whole field of dating, online dating. And I think the conclusion that we came to after that discussion was that it's work. It's a lot of work. If you want to be out there and look for a partner online, you have to be prepared for quite a while. You know, it might take quite a while. You might be lucky, meet someone quickly, but it might take you a long time. And you have to be really resilient, don't you? You have to be very resilient in terms of, you know, being able to withstand all this ghosting that takes place, or the constant disappointments of you meet someone, you like them, you think, actually, we have something in common here, and then people disappear. That happens. And, you know, the disappearing happens for a reason. There are good reasons for people to do ghosting. But when you're at the receiving end and have your hopes dashed all of the time, that can be really, really hard and very painful and very undermining, particularly in terms of your self-esteem or self-worth.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think somebody who's got low self-esteem already or does kind of question their self-worth, again, that can be a huge impact. Mm-hmm. I mean, not just that, but actually the fact you put on your profile, you put your photo up, mm-hmm. you send messages and you get no responses.
All that,
I mean, that can be incredibly disheartening.
Yeah.
And it could be something simple that could be sorted, like mm-hmm. having different photos, which you wouldn't mm-hmm. even think about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, it can be incredibly demoralizing. Mm-hmm. It makes you think, is there something about you?
Mm.
And I think we talked about before, I can't remember if it was in a podcast episode or if it's in our course, The Relationship Maze, where we talk a bit about some of these things where we want to, I think some research has shown that if you date too many people on these apps at one time, suddenly it becomes overloading and it's better to make a selection of, you know, a few people, whether it's five or six, and spend a bit of time getting to know them rather than kind of just trying to meet too many people, because the more people you meet, there's a point where we just, you know, we just lose that possibility of actually really connecting.
I think you can only do it, I would also think, with online dating, you can only do it for a period of time, I would think, and then you have to kind of almost rebuild your resources again, because it is so much hard work. You do it for a period of time, you set yourself a target maybe of, I'm going to meet 10 people, 20 people within whatever time range is appropriate, and then you just give it a break because it just gets too much.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I was thinking about just now was that what's difficult, of course, about online dating as opposed to in-person dating out there in different contexts is that you don't really have an opportunity to kind of realize that this other person has got qualities that you might have never realized they have. So if you get to know someone organically in other contexts, you can kind of get a sense of someone, and sometimes they might surprise you and you might think, wow, I had no idea that they are really good at this, or actually they are really interesting. Yeah. So it's a sort of much narrower interpretation of the other person when you just meet them through the lens of these sort of very limited criteria that are listed on the internet.
Yeah, and there's that sort of, you know, I've heard often people say, well, you know, they go out for one date on an online app and the person says, well, I didn't feel there was that chemistry.
What does that
chemistry
mean?
I mean, it's also, like you're saying, if you happen to meet somebody socially, like an event, you know, take something where it's karaoke or something where people are having fun, you might see somebody doing something and think, oh, that person looks fun. But just meeting somebody from an app where you're both nervous, maybe, or one person more nervous than the other, where, you know, you're meeting in some place that's, you know, may not be the most fun place, and suddenly it's like you think there's no chemistry. Well, it could be because of that context. So I think, you know, there may be people that you kind of like and you might think, well, not sure, but it's about giving them a bit more time. So I think it's once you've kind of, there are some people you know that there's probably no potential with early on, but I think there's also people where, you know, there's that bit of uncertainty. You maybe like them, not sure if it's chemistry, but being open to, you know, going on a few dates to see if that can develop. Because I think that's the problem, is when we don't have that shared social connection or shared activity where we happen to meet somebody, that dynamic for chemistry is not always there initially, but it's not that it can't be there.
Yes, it might develop, yes? So for some people that kind of spark develops later on. And of course it happens, you know, in lots of contexts that people work together for quite some time and then there's one day, one opportunity where they look at this person who they've known for a while and think, oh, actually, I'm looking at you with more interest,
yeah,
with a romantic interest because you did or said something that I found really appealing. Yeah,
and we know as well that chemistry develops sometimes in some professions where, you know, there's very challenging environments. Mm. Like some people in emergency services, you see people suddenly, you know, if somebody gets into an affair because they're involved in this really intense situation, that produces this dynamic, this chemistry. Mm. So I think sometimes because you meet somebody on that first date and it doesn't feel like there's chemistry is not an indicator that there can't be chemistry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the point is, I think I wouldn't, my argument would be don't necessarily give up on online dating, keep on trying in a sort of, as I say, in a sort of maybe slightly more boundaried way where you set yourself some clear boundaries about how much you can do of that. And at the same time, simultaneously, maybe also explore other options where you have the possibility of meeting people face-to-face, in person, which is offline, basically. Sorry, I was looking for the term. Offline dating, right? And what are the options here? So there might be the possibility of considering, if you have a particular interest, that you pursue that. If you like singing, then, you know, join a choir. If you like dancing, join a dancing group. So it's also creating opportunities. For me, it's all about creating opportunities to meet other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, other activities, like you said, there are lots of running clubs or Sunday runs in the park and things. Mm. I mean, I don't know how many single people do these things, but it's a chance just to meet people. And I think sometimes, actually, being in an environment where the pressure is off having to meet somebody to date can also be helpful for some people.
Sure.
Because sometimes when you're thinking, I've got to find somebody, it sends out these signals that they're kind of mixed. It's almost, you know, whether it's, I don't like to use the word desperate, but it's sort of sometimes the signal's wrong. Whereas, you know, joining activities and joining groups and actually just getting to know people can often be a great way to find relationships.
Yeah. I just also want to make the point that I have a lot of empathy for somebody who really wants to be in a relationship and can't find someone. It just is not that easy. It really isn't. I mean, sometimes it's not that easy for your own personal reasons, you know, because you're unconsciously sabotaging the idea of actually starting a relationship, which is always worth exploring. And of course, and it's also hard because you are reliant on someone else here who is going to have to step your way. So, you know, so there's an element of control that you have over the situation, but there's a limited control that you have. All you can do, I think, in the end, is to create as many opportunities as possible for meeting another person. So either, you know, as you say, in a context where there isn't that kind of pressure necessarily, where you're doing something that you love doing anyway, yeah? So don't force yourself to go singing if you don't like singing, for example, just on the off chance that you might meet someone. That wouldn't work, would it? So it is about doing something that you love doing anyway.
Yeah.
And then, you know, being open to the possibility that there is someone there who you might meet who's also single, also interested in starting a relationship. And being open to getting to know other people, not being too closed off, because I think that's often also an unconscious way of sabotaging, is by being hypercritical, yeah, or by having a very long shopping list of criteria that the other person's got to fulfill, which I think often are not even relevant to a good relationship.
Yes, absolutely. And that's something we talk about in our course, The Relationship Maze, where you know, part of that is going through what are some of your criteria that you've already set up that you might not even be aware of consciously. Mm. What are some of the things, your beliefs, some of the things that within you may have stopped you having those relationships that you deserve. Mm. So, you know, that's a really important part of it is you know, what could be within you that prevents you or kind of gets in the way of your creating relationships. Mm. And of course, you know, the place to start really is with yourself.
Sure.
Whether that's lack of confidence. So, you know, if you haven't got the confidence to go out and do dating, or if you're finding you just don't seem to be able to get beyond a certain level in creating that relationship, is there something within you as well? And that's where, you know, one-to-one therapy and counselling can be really helpful as well.
Yeah, so for example, you know, if you have more of a tendency towards avoidant, dismissive attachment, then that might be something to explore, because obviously that might get in the way where you, because you always have to idealize, you have to often idealize people, but you are not really seeing the real person, so to speak. And also remember that we've talked about this previously in a podcast episode as well. Remember that the dating pool is full of people, more people who have an avoidant dismissive attachment style. So that is an added factor here, that you might be dealing with someone who is very anxious about committing to a relationship, who's really worried about being, you know, who can't quite trust the other person to really engage with them on a very intimate level. An avoidant dismissive attachment is an avoidant of intimacy, ultimately. And that's what you often encounter in these, in these encounters on dating apps.
Absolutely. And the other criteria that I think is often quite problematic, or maybe not criteria, the other thing that I come up with a lot is social anxiety, which again doesn't necessarily tie in with one particular attachment style, social anxiety may stop people from even going on the app. But if somebody is socially anxious and you get these negative responses and you meet somebody who is avoidant, dismissive, well, that's going to maybe feed more into that self-belief as well, that self-evaluation, which, you know, somebody who's socially anxious, it's all about that fear of judgment. Mm. How's somebody going to see you? Mm. And I think that's really challenging. So in some ways, dating apps can help people who are socially anxious. But I've also seen a lot of people that now feel there's no way to meet somebody, because at least in the past, you might have met people at work, you might have met people in another context. Mm. But now suddenly it's this whole thing where you're going to put a profile up that everyone could see. Mm. You're going to get judged by all of these people. Suddenly this potential for judgment is even stronger. So I think for many people who are socially anxious, dating apps can actually make the whole thing worse.
Well, no, totally, yeah. I mean, arguably, I imagine a lot of people who are socially anxious would also, might be more likely to be anxious, preoccupied in their attachment, I would argue. But you can't generalize that, I agree with you. But yeah, absolutely, it can reinforce that. It can magnify this worry even more. So there's all the evidence then for somebody who is socially anxious, all the evidence that they're not being wanted ultimately, and that all their fears were true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a risk. I think it comes with a risk. I think that's the bottom line, I think, with online dating apps, is that it comes with huge risk because, well, like starting a relationship, of course, comes with a huge risk because you're vulnerable. You make yourself vulnerable, you open up to somebody else, you show a bit of a part of yourself, you show your vulnerability, and then when that gets rejected, it feels absolutely heartbreaking, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the bottom line, I think the message of what we want to get across today as well, is that, you know, dating apps can work.
Yeah.
And so can other avenues.
Yeah.
It's exploring different ways, different kind of ways to meet people that you haven't thought of maybe before. Mm-hmm. But I think the key thing is that if you really want a relationship, I think you can find one. Mm-hmm. You can create a fulfilling relationship. First of all, it's looking within yourself. And then it's beginning to have better communication skills as well, so that we can really build that relationship with someone else, which are the key things we look at in our online course, The Relationship Maze. Mm-hmm. So please head over to therelationshipmaze.com, where you can find lots of free resources and our course, The Relationship Maze. Tune in next week and press subscribe right now.
Take good care until then.
Bye.
That's a good one.